Praise God. God is good. Amen? Yeah. We got burritos. We got Grandparents' Day. We got, you know, just, it's good. We got what?
Donuts.
Well, we got Jesus, more importantly. Amen? And He is enough. But thank you guys again for being here. Thank you, grandparents, again so much for your love and support for our kids. We couldn't do it without you guys, honestly. It does take a community. So, man, today we're going to be spending some time, if you guys know, if you guys have your handouts or, I was going to take a poll. How many of you guys would prefer if I preach with the lights fully on so you guys could see better? I don't know if it's helpful to you guys. Let's take a quick poll. In the back, would it be helpful if we turned up the lights? Or is it better if we just, it doesn't matter, right? God sees all things. I'm not shy about it. So if that's helpful to you guys, we can do that. Is that better? All right, I'm seeing one. I'm seeing two. Anybody else? Okay, who would prefer to just leave it the way it is? Okay, one, two, three, four, five. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to buy lights for the tables in the back. Because we're going through, right? I say, hey, we want to do what makes the most sense. So there we go. We're gonna do that. Because at the end of the day, listen. We want to make sure that this is it's your church too. To be honest with you. Actually, no, it's Jesus' church, but we're all parts of the family. Yeah. So okay. Well, then I just wanted to make sure I got a good sense of that. But if you haven't got a fill in the blank, get one in the back. Or we also have a lot of we have Bibles in the back as well. So. Or you're always welcome to follow along. Today we're going to be spending some time in a very, very important topic. In fact, I'm kind of giving it away, but what was the topic that Jesus preached on the most when he was here in his earthly ministry? Do you guys know? It's kind of this is a softball. You guys should all hit a home run on this one. He would preach most on what? The kingdom of heaven, yeah. If you count them in the Gospels, it's actually recorded about 100 times between all four Gospels, because Jesus was about preaching and teaching on the kingdom of heaven. And oftentimes you would hear him say, sort of like this, the kingdom of heaven is like, dot, dot, dot. And or sometimes you would see it transposed, the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of heaven is a very huge topic, right? So it's important that we spend some time. And so today we're going to be in God's Word learning about what Jesus has to say about the kingdom of heaven. Now, in contrast, Jesus is focused on the kingdom of heaven. What do we see in today's culture, in today's world? What is the thing that you see a lot of? We see a lot of kingdom building here, right? We see a lot of we're going to be the best, and we want to, amass all these things, whether it's degrees and titles and wealth and material things, and so that's all kingdom building here. But even if you look at it on a bigger scale, right? The people back then in Jesus' time, they were also into kingdom building. I don't know if you know that. They wanted Jesus to come in and do what? To get rid of the Romans. You guys remember that? Because they were being occupied by Rome. They were being heavily taxed by the Roman Empire. And so they were also into kingdom building. But Jesus was very specific to say, he kept saying it over and over and over again, that he was here to build up the kingdom of heaven, not the earthly kingdom of, in this time it was Israel, right? So that we differentiate that. And the one thing that we always recognize is that Jesus, he taught a lot in parables, right? Jesus was a master storyteller, don't you? When you read the Gospels, you should actually go through and just really understand what Jesus was doing. Oftentimes, he was using object lessons, right? When he was going through, one of my favorites in John, the object lessons and the parables, he would always say, and he would speak to them into things that they could understand, right? He broke it down to them in a way that it was very simple, because generally, as people, we're storytellers. Right, we get it, we understand it when you teach me something, and then I can take a very important critical truth and then break it down to me in a way that is very simple that I can see and then turn around and apply it. And so what we're going to be reading in Matthew is Jesus telling a series of parables that have to do with the kingdom of heaven. And so if you are If you have your Bibles out, we're going to be in Matthew 13, and we're going to be spending some time in chapter 13, and we're going to be going through verse 31 as we're going to start. So Matthew 13, verse 31. And it says, Jesus said, he told them another parable. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come, perch on its branches. And he told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked through all the dough. And Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, so it was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Amen. The parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast. You guys have probably all heard this. You guys have heard this before? Because if you guys have heard this song, and in fact, we used to sing this song at our old church. Si tuvieras fe, como un grano de mostaza. That's right. What does it say from there? Dice el Señor, yeah. Si tuvieras fe, como un grano de mostaza. Solo dice el Señor. And then he said, se moviría esta montaña. So what it's saying is, that's right. See, I got Sister Valeria signing her up for worship. Right, it's a fast song. But what he's saying, what they're saying is, Christian, what they're saying is, if you have faith like a mustard seed, right, this is Jesus even preaching this. You guys remember that? You would say, mountain move, and the mountain would move, right? And so what it's saying is, if you look at it, a mustard seed is something that is very small, very small. In fact, I'm going to have, is Matthew in here? He's helping out. I'm going to have SJ pass these out. I want you to give one of these to all the adults. It's very tiny, right? Just go through and pass it. I want you to see how big it is, actually, just for context. Oftentimes, you don't quite understand what it is until you see it, and you see it in the palm of your hand that, man, that's not very big, huh? Does that look like something that you would say, man, something big and powerful can come out of that? In fact, can you show the slide of the mustard seed? It's not a very big seed. It's actually one of the tallest, one of the smallest seeds that is available, and it grows into, it's a garden shrub typically. But what Jesus is saying is that, man, something so small, right? He's saying, like, if you had this amount of faith, I could do something amazing with it, right? And so he's not saying you have to come, because what is the countercultural to the world? The world says you have to have the degrees, and you have to be born with this certain background, and you have to have resources and assets to be able to do something amazing for the kingdom. But Jesus says, he's telling us very plainly, he says, listen, if you had faith like a mustard seed, right? He says, the kingdom of God is like this. It's something, it starts off as small as this. And then it does something amazing, yeah? And so that's exciting for us, because I don't know about you guys, but man, if we're from this area, honestly, we grew up in Orange Cove. And back then, when I met my wife, I was in high school. I was the ripe old age of 13. She was into younger men at that time. Boys, I wasn't even mad. But people would say, where are you from? Orange Cove. And they would like, are you in a gang? What gang are you in? Isn't it dangerous there? Have you ever been shot at? I was like, listen, there's trouble anywhere that you go, there is trouble, right? You go looking for it. So all I'm saying is that, listen, where you come from, all these different things, that's the world saying that it's like putting you in a box. Jesus is saying, man, you could do some amazing things for the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like what? It's like a mustard seed. That if you had just this amount of faith, you could do something amazing. So sometimes, listen, don't discount the small things in your life. Sometimes we think that's like, oh, I got to have it all together. It's like, no. If God has given you the calling, he's going to equip you to the task. Does that make sense? So the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that grows into a big tree. Now, I gave you guys a little example. And this picture is kind of cool because in the background, it shows, what does it show in the background? A big tree, right? That when it's planted, when it's given by God, you can do something amazing with that. But on our own, of course, if we're just looking at our finite resources and what we have here, of course, it's going to be tough. But if we understood the kingdom of heaven, it means that, man, the kingdom God can use something small, something tiny, something like, I think Stephen preached about it, right? A childlike faith, right? Somebody sending the kids to bring into VBS, and then you start to see how God is multiplying and doing something by somebody saying yes to Jesus at a VBS event. Does that make sense? That's a testimony of our family, if you guys don't know that. And so the kingdom of heaven starts small, but grows into something that is big and powerful. That's the first key point for today. The kingdom of heaven starts small, but grows into something big and powerful. And so even though it's a tiny little seed, right, it becomes a large tree where birds can find its rest. And what's interesting, right, is that Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. In fact, he proclaims it and he says, the kingdom of heaven is in your midst, right? You know what he's talking about? He's talking about himself. That people don't quite understand that what God was doing is that he was, you know, we pray this all the time in the Lord's Prayer. You guys know that? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You guys know that part? Jesus was the fulfillment of that prayer. I don't know if you know that. Bringing heaven down into earth. And so through him, something that started off small has grown into something big. Right? And so Jesus himself is proclaiming, he says, I must proclaim the kingdom of God. I must proclaim the kingdom of heaven. Because he was talking about what God was doing. It wasn't that the God that was out there. Because oftentimes when you talk about to somebody about things of faith, what do they tell you? That your God is absent. Where is a God in the middle of the pain and the suffering? Where is a God in the middle of heartache and trauma? You know, there's a terrible thing that happened in Reedley. I don't know if you guys know that there was a family, there's actually a murder that happened after a family party right across the street from T.L. Reed in Citizens Park. Terrible. And sometimes terrible things happen, but those things are not from God. We have to recognize that God gives free will. And listen, this place that we're in, this is a fallen world. Yes, thank you. And it doesn't belong to this. Who's the prince of this world? Satan, right? The enemy. And so turn on your TV and you're going to see that the prince of the world is doing, having a lot. Honestly, right now, for example, in Reedley alone, there's been two or three shootings, a stabbing, just like in the last like 7 days. If we don't think that the enemy is hard at work, that this is not his kingdom, just turn on the TV, right? But Jesus is saying, listen, this is not my kingdom. In fact, he even said that if this was my kingdom, but my angels, my people, they would fight for me. But he didn't come for this. He came for souls. He came for people. So the kingdom of heaven starts small, but it grows into something big. And for us, it means that we have to trust him. That despite even our humble beginnings, if we can just have faith like a mustard seed and we can trust in Jesus, he can do something amazing with it. But he's looking for what? He's looking for people that are committed, that are obedient, that are being obedient to the calling of the Holy Spirit. And so we can't underestimate what God can do with our faithfulness, even if it's small. God is calling you to start a Bible study or Bible study, right? If God is calling you to say, listen, I want to get involved with children's ministry. God is giving you a gift and a talent to use to build up his kingdom. But it takes faith and obedience. Your faith can grow into something powerful for the kingdom of heaven. And that's what Jesus was referencing there. The second thing we see there in that passage is now, that was the parable of the mustard seed. But now we go into verse 33, right, where it talks about the, and turn my page right here, sorry. 33 says, he told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a yeast that a woman took and mixed in about 60 pounds of flour until it worked through all the dough, right? So how many of you guys are bakers here in the room? A few of you? Yeah. You're a baker? You got two bakers right here? So should we have the boys bring some baked goods next week? Yeah. We're going to put them on the spot? Yes. Pop-Tarts don't count, okay? So you tell them, you think about it after when we're going to, next Sunday, baked goods, okay? Say it again. She did not. He said, did Irene raise her hand in the back? She didn't. She's not going to bail you out. No, but how about you guys know when you guys when you bake, what do you generally need? If you don't use yeast, or what happens to your cake or whatever you're baking, your bread? It doesn't rise. Has that ever happened? Like, we didn't quite take, and you're like, oh man, this looks like a brick. You guys, has that ever happened to anybody? Like, it didn't quite take, and it's like, oh, this is terrible. Throw it away. It's like Adriana said every time. Okay, there's a new ministry happening, a cooking ministry. I'm hearing it. There's a new opportunity there. The man said amen. But no, you need to know what it takes, right? You need to have the right ingredients. You need to put the yeast in there. And then you need to let it what? You need to let it rise, yeah. I'm not a baker. I'm not going to. I heard. My brother in the back's a baker. So you need to let it rise. Yeah, how many of you guys have been to San Francisco over like Fisherman's Wharf? There's a famous place there, right? What is it called? Boudin's, yeah. And when you go there, right? If you guys throw the slide up there, what do you normally guys get when you go to San Francisco? Clam chowder, yeah. So this is on the Pier 39. Ooh, and when you walk by, it smells like you saw all the smells in the. Some of you are getting hungry right now. Thank you, and you guys had a burrito already. You're still getting hungry. Amen? Doesn't it smell so good? And you smell, you can almost like, the sourdough is like tart and it's soft. And see, I'm giving you guys all kinds of different cravings. But this is what you would use, right? You need to have yeast and it needs to grow. And interesting, right? What Jesus is saying is that just like the same way that the yeast works its way through all the dough, right? He's talking about what the kingdom of heaven is going to grow in that same way. In fact, the reason why I brought this one up is that if you actually go visit this place, they actually allow you in, they let you see the bakery, and you can actually take a tour. They actually have the same, what it's called, the starter, right? That was from 1949. In fact, Bodine's is the oldest still running business in San Francisco. I don't know if you guys know that. It's even survived the 1906 fire. So if you go visit that, they actually have a little fridge where it says, the mother of dough lives here, which I think is cool. Because what do? It's the same yeast and the same lactobacilli, yeah, bacillus, yes. That is the same yeast that is growing, right, for over 150 years. Isn't that awesome? And all they do is they feed it. They feed it. And so what is the kingdom of heaven like? The kingdom of heaven is the same way. It will continue to grow so long as you do what? Feed it, right? So how do you feed your faith? Does it happen just by coming to church on Sunday? I mean, it doesn't, right? How about you say, if you try that diet, I'm only going to eat on Sunday diet. How would you look? How would you feel? Feel all weak. All sad, all depressed all the time. Grumpy. Somebody said hangry over here. Right? That's the first thing. It's like, oh. No. In our walk is the same way. Our souls are hungry for the things of God. And so we need to feed that side. We need to be in the Word. We need to be in Bible study. We need to be at church on Sunday for sure. We need to be at the women's coffee meetups. We need to be going to Next Gen if we're in that. But you need to be praying every single day. You need to be in your Word every single day. Because we got to feed that. And so what Jesus is saying is the same way. It's like, listen, the same way that they feed this mother dough, your faith needs to grow. Right? What it does, what does it do? When your faith grows, when you start to see somebody's on fire, like, hey, brother, your baptism last week was awesome. Like, I don't know if you saw it. It was just awesome. You know, Sister Valeria hit me up afterwards. She's like, Pastor, we got to step up our game. We need white robes. We need this. I was like, okay, whatever we're going to keep doing. If God brings it, let's do it. Amen? But it was cool to see, Zeke getting baptized. It's cool to see him growing in the faith. It's funny, we were at Bible study last week, and Zeke kind of, I didn't ask him for permission, but it's a good thing, don't worry about it. And he said, you know, I just feel like this conviction that I need to be doing more for the kingdom. That I'm reading and reading and reading, but I'm not teaching anybody. And he says, so I'm just now at work, I'm just looking for reasons to go in the front. And I just want to say, hey, you guys want to talk about the Bible? And what did they say? They said, yes, we'd love that. Isn't that awesome? That when the kingdom of heaven is filling with faith and you're saying yes, what is it? It can't be contained. It's going to spread, right? And so that's what Jesus is saying. It's like your faith is the same way. When you're filled with him, guess what? You can't help but share the good news. You can't help but share how good Jesus is, right? That should be us. Does that make sense? Now, if our dough is not rising, and if dough is kind of flat, and it's like a brick, like Adriana said when she bakes, what do we need? We need to feed the faith, yes? So that then what Jesus can do something. See, listen, God, I always say, listen, God is the one that equips us with the ability to do his work. In fact, your desire for God comes from God. Your salvation comes from God. Does that make sense? And so that is how the kingdom works. And I don't know if I gave you guys the second point, but the kingdom of heaven transforms from the inside out. Transforms from the inside out. It has to transform from the inside out. What happens if you had your dough and then if you just sprinkle the yeast on top, what would happen to your bread? It wouldn't work, right? In fact, that's the way that the kingdom of God has to work. We have to put our faith, and God has to come in and give us what first? He has to give us a heart transplant, doesn't he? Man, it has to work that way, because guess what? If God didn't work from the inside out and he just worked from the outside, what does that feel like to you? Do you like somebody telling you how to live, what to do, what to say, what you can and can't do? Do you enjoy that? I don't. I'm just being honest with you. I'm picking up some over here, like the Cowboy fans are fighting amongst themselves over here. I don't know what's going on. There's going to be marriage counseling class. Sign up in the back. No, but we don't like that, right? And Jesus didn't come to make us slaves, right? He came because you know what? Here's the one thing that you need to know. Free love only flows from a free heart, right? God didn't come to enslave us. He came to offer it. It was a subtle thing. That's why he's saying the kingdom of God is like this. If you have a little bit of faith, if you can trust in me, that it'll grow. So the kingdom transforms us from the inside out, not from the outside in. And it has to be that way. Because it works powerfully and it transforms our life. In fact, Jesus, when he comes in, he starts to transform what? He starts to prune, doesn't he? The Holy Spirit comes in and starts to convict you, doesn't he? Because the things that you used to do, you don't feel comfortable doing anymore. Because if you do, right, go and read 1 John chapter 3. And he says, listen, if you feel comfortable, you don't feel any discomfort in what God... He said, hey, oh, this is a bad one, but let me just say it. He says, you're not a child of God. You're a child of the devil. Because you don't feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And so for us as believers, you better believe, you better be heeding that warning. Right? He came to transform us from the inside out. And so here's the thing, right? It's not about external appearances either. Because we do know, in fact, sometimes we talk about this, that there's people that could profess and claim that they love Jesus. But do you see them? Sometimes they're oftentimes the rudest and meanest people. You know people? I'm not saying, don't raise your hand. I'm not trying. If you might know people like that, they're not here at this church, I know. They're somewhere else. But you know some people that are super religious, and it's like, man, like, and there's not that, like last week we talked about that fragrant aroma of Jesus Christ in their life, right? It's like, gosh, you know, I need you to get that word and let it penetrate you. Because it's just on the surface. And so it's not about the outward appearance. It's about the inner transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to let His Word and His Spirit and His truth work in every part of our thought, every part of our life. That's our thoughts, our relationships, our actions. Everything has to be under Jesus' Lordship. Does that make sense? So let's keep reading. Let's read on. We're going to pick up in verse 44. And that's the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl. This is Jesus again speaking. And it says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought the field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Amen. Number three, the third thing we learned from today's scripture is that the kingdom of heaven is worth everything. The kingdom of heaven is worth everything. You see, what's interesting is that the man, when he found the treasure, right, he didn't care about the things of the world anymore. In fact, he says he sold everything and he bought that piece of land so he could what? Have the kingdom. He could have the treasure that he had found. And so for us, when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, guess what? It's going to cost you something. And I'll repeat it. What's it going to cost you? Everything. You need to give it to Him. You need to give it to Him. When you fall in love with Jesus, and when you really get it, when you have a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ, it has to change your life. Or I would even question, did you have that genuine encounter? Was it just an emotional thing? Because oftentimes people will do that. But Jesus didn't come just to give us just to make us emotional about it. No, He's calling us to grow. In fact, the invitation for Jesus is always, right? He says, well, come and see. And then later on, He's saying, pick up your cross and follow Me. You guys remember that? We preached on that a few weeks back. And then the other merchant, when she finds something, right, that she was looking for, she found a priceless pearl. She also went off and she sold everything so she could have it. Now, I know sometimes it's like saying, well, does that mean that I have to go sell everything? You know, here's the thing. Jesus is giving you an analogy, a perspective to say, listen, the most important thing that you own is what? What is it? Yeah, your heart. Your life. He's saying, listen, it's going to cost you everything, but will you give it to Jesus? That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. And oftentimes you hear me saying, look, listen, we talk about the tithe. The tithe is for you. It's a little test of your faith. But Jesus already owns it all. He owns your life. So just give it to Him. Does that make sense? And you know, it's interesting. The world has it totally upside down. When you start talking about God and you start talking about things of Jesus, and it's like, I don't know, Zeke, you tell me how it's going. You're telling, like, I'm going to talk to people about the Bible. Sometimes it's like, I don't want to talk about that book. That's an antiquated book. It's wrong. It's been written how many times? How do you know it's true? Blah, 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 blah. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Right? Because they have a hardened heart towards God. I used to be one of those people. But what's interesting is when we go back, and let me just focus on this one word. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when the man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, right, sold all that he had and went and bought that field. Jesus is calling somebody right now. It's always my mom. It's like the third time. I already know the ring. It's like, Mom, really? Thank you, Jesus, for calling my mom. But you know what? Isn't it interesting what he says when he found it? That there was joy in his life. That there was joy that he genuinely loved, like he fell in love with Jesus. Some of you guys remember when you fell in love for the first time? Isn't that awesome? And then you fell, and yes, with your spouse, but also when you fell in love with Jesus. I remember when I fell in love with her. couldn't stop talking to you. I would walk 3 blocks. You know, hey, you guys don't know. Some of the young kids, you guys have cell phones. You had a cell phone your whole life. I had to go to the payphone. You guys remember that? I gathered up all the dimes so I could go talk to my future wife at the liquor store in Orange Cove. Okay? But you remember when you fell in love for the first time? It was awesome, right? You can't get enough. And that's what it's saying. It's like, listen, the kingdom of heaven is like that. When you get it and you fall in love with Jesus, then you can't help but talk about him. Amen? It's like finding something that is so awesome, so precious. How many of you guys like to go to, like, you guys are like yard sale hunters, right here? My brother would be like all about it. He's like, I stop at it. My brother told me, I stop at every yard sale. Where'd you get that at? A yard sale? He's like, I paid $5 for it. And man, I paid $10 for that. You did? Dumpster? Yeah. Right? You never know. So, as of late, as a family, we started going to thrift store shopping. Right? You guys enjoy that? I like just going through and it's like, you like, what's that? Oh. And then you get a deal. And then you feel happy about it. Or maybe, like, you know, maybe thrift store shopping is not your thing, but you like going shopping at Macy's for shoes. Are you like, somebody? Or Kohl's. And I know she had a good day because she calls me and she's very excited. I can feel I hear the joy in her. She's like, oh, you should have got so many good deals. I got shoes for all the kids. This just happened 2 weeks ago. And she did a good job. There was a joy about finding that deal, yeah? Just like when I go thrift shopping, there's a joy in finding, I don't know, I found a pair of snow chains for $10. They were $150 on Amazon. I was like, yes. I was happy about that. So we're happy about finding little treasures here and there. But when we find the treasure of Jesus Christ, man, there should be joy in our hearts. It should be overflowing. We should be waiting. Like, I can't wait to tell you all about Jesus and what he's doing in my life. Does that make sense? And that's what Jesus is saying. It's like, listen, it's not only about how it's going to spread. It's not only about having faith like a mustard seed. He says, listen, when you really get it and you understand the kingdom of God, right, you're going to fall in love and feel this joy like you've never felt before. And so the kingdom of God, right, it's like somebody who found a great treasure. And the interesting part is that you've been looking for that treasure, but guess what? The owner and that person, it's not a treasure, it's a person and he has a name and his name is Jesus. And guess what? He's been looking for you too. Isn't that awesome? Because you've been looking for it, but guess what? Doesn't it feel good to say, like, listen, the creator of the universe has been looking for you too. And oftentimes I say we go looking for validation, and we want to feel like this person. Listen, the Hollywood has done a real number on our hearts, hasn't it? That you need this person, you need this thing, and you're going to fall in love, and la 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 la. Okay. All kinds of mushy stuff. And don't get me wrong, I love me a romantic comedy, okay? I'm there. Rom-com guy, I'm there. But that is feel good and that. It's not the love that Jesus is talking about. In fact, when I always say, like, listen, when you love somebody for real, I say, what is it going to cost you? It's going to cost you everything. And the other thing that I always tell people that I'm counseling is that you haven't loved somebody until you've absolutely suffered for that person. Does that make sense? Yeah. Amen. Amen. I heard Adriana say it real loud over there, brother. She said, amen to that. She's excited. Again, we're going to have the sign-up sheet for marriage counseling in the back. But doesn't it feel good, right? It does feel good. When you're seeking it, but when the person that you're seeking is actually seeking you. And he's been seeking you from the time that before you were even conceived, the world tells us that. But if we read it. In fact, we read it at the baby shower, right? Psalm 139:14 says, I knew you while you were being knit together in your mother's womb. In Jeremiah 1:5 says, I knew you, right, before you were, I declared you to be a prophet to the nations, right? I knew you before I even made you. That's our God. And so the kingdom of heaven is like finding the person that you love the most. That's going to give you that, make you whole. Not the Hollywood version of it. And I'm not discounting the person. I'm not discounting our earthly relationships. I'm not discounting our family and what God has called us to do. The family and being married and what that means, that's God's blueprint, right? And that's His structure. But when we go meet Him, we don't go with our spouses, right? We go alone. In fact, Jesus says what? He wants to make sure that what, and I'm getting ahead of myself too, but we are going to be held accountable for our own faith. Not for the faith of our spouse. Not for our parents' faith, but our own faith. And all I know is that when I see Jesus, man, I want to make sure that He knows. And it's like, you're the person that I... Isn't that... I don't know about you, but like, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Him. And the thing that I want to... The thing that this parable also challenges us is that it gives us two examples of people who gave up everything for their faith. Oftentimes, there's something that is holding us back from that next level that Jesus is calling us into intimacy, into relationship. It's the busyness of our life. I don't have time. I am too tired. There's a relationship you might need to prune. There's friends that are distracting you of your time. There's something that you carry around in your pocket, in your purse, that is robbing you of your time. You get cramps because you do it so much all day. You know what I'm talking about? Right? And so we have to make sure that it's like, what is it going to cost you? What's holding you back? The example that we saw was the people that gave up everything because they knew that when they gave up everything, they gained everything. And so he's saying, listen, it's going to cost you something. In this case, to say they gave it all up to know, to give themselves over to God, to give themselves over to the kingdom of heaven. What's keeping you from fully surrendering every aspect of your life to Christ? What is the kingdom worth to you? Oftentimes, like I said, we're building up the mini kingdom here. And guess what? You don't get to take it with you. Your kids are probably going to spend it, right? Or sell it. All the treasures that we think we have. And when we give our lives over to Jesus and we invest in that relationship, we gain, number one, eternal life, right? By giving our life faith in Jesus Christ. We gain peace with God. We gain peace with God again. What's better than that? And then you get the joy of knowing who Jesus is. The joy that He knows you. Amen? Let's keep reading. The fourth point is going to be the kingdom of heaven will bring final separation. The kingdom of heaven will bring final separation. And we see that in Matthew 13, verse 47. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down in a lake and caught all kinds of fish. And when it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in the baskets, but threw away the bad. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous, throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out his storeroom, new treasures as well as old. Amen. In the parable of the net and the fish, what he's talking about is that they would go fishing and they would cast the net and they would separate the good fish from the bad, right? You guys see that Jesus was very clear. He preached on this a lot. Earlier in this chapter, he preached about, what, the weeds and the wheat. You guys remember that? And he says, should we go out and prune, pull them out? He says, no. At the end, we're going to harvest them all, and then we'll separate them. And Jesus is giving a very clear warning at this. Sometimes this is a message that people don't want to hear because everybody, you've heard me say this, right? We're all climbing up the same mountain. I'm a good person. There's many roads to God, which is contrary, 100% contrary to what the Bible says. Jesus says what? I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. So we got to make sure that, and we know that there is going to be a final separation. And we have to, in love, share that good news with people. In love, not in condemnation. You can't walk around with your Bibles and start beating people up with them. This is why. This is why your life is terrible, because you don't listen. Let me help you out. Bam! You want to do that, but that's not effective evangelism, okay? Just going to tell you that. You want to do that, but it's not effective. But in love, right? In love, we want to tell people the truth. In love, we want to tell people the truth. And the culture that we live in is very much about what? The number one thing is it's about you. The other thing is, don't offend me. Your beliefs are your beliefs. You can believe all you want, closet Christian, go pray in the closet, but don't share it out here. Out here in the world, though, I get to do whatever I want. I can say what I want, I want to do what I want, but if you want to talk to me about things about God, you better go to church to do that. You guys see what I'm talking about? There's such a duplicity. There's a double standard when it comes to the things of God. But listen, you have to love people enough to tell them the truth anyway. Whether that makes them feel comfortable or not. Now, we're not going to grab our Bibles and beat people up to them, but we got to speak truth to them. We got to love them enough to tell them the truth. That there is going to be a final separation. And we don't want the people that we love to be what? It says it very clearly. He said, this is how it's going to be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so there is going to be a final separation. And God is going to separate those who belong to Him from those who don't. In fact, some of the scariest words are actually shared by Jesus. If you look at Matthew 7:21 through 23, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, away from me, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I don't know if there's a few scary verses, but this is one of them. Because they're saying, listen, weren't we doing all these things? Weren't we prophesying? We were even casting out demons in your name. And what did he say? He says, get away from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. So it's not your works that save you. It's your faith in Jesus and knowing Him. And in return, what? He'll know you. The application for this particular parable is that eternity is real. The heaven and hell are real places. The kingdom of heaven is open to everybody, but you have to accept Jesus Christ. And you get to, the thing about it is that you get to choose. God is not going to force you. You get to choose. But only those who trust Jesus, right, in their hearts actually will get in, be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so it does mean that we have to act with urgency. It means that we have to just say, you know, one of the greatest lies that the enemy tells you is that Jesus is not coming back. That you have time. But we have to act with a sense of urgency. And we don't know when the day is going to come, right? Stephen said that this morning. So the time to repent is today. The time to follow Jesus is today. The time to embrace the kingdom of heaven is today. And not wait. The time to feed your faith is today. Listen, you might be here, But the faith, like a mustard seed. And Jesus is telling you, you know what? That's enough. I can do something with that if you will just give it all to me. And you might be here today with that amount of faith to say, man, Pastor, you don't understand the storm that I'm in right now. You don't understand what it is to be growing up. You don't understand. You know what? The reality is, I understand some of it. I don't understand every trial, every pain, every hurt. I don't understand all of it that's in this room. But Jesus does. I'm not God. I can't carry all the burdens. I can't carry the weight. Jesus can. The creator of the universe can. The creator of the universe can sustain you when in the storm that you're going through. The creator of the universe can sustain you and bring healing upon you. Can restore relationships, can bring you back to reconciliation, can make us alive again. He brings dead things to life with this amount of faith. If we will just say yes to build up the kingdom of heaven and to continue to give our lives over to Him, He could do something amazing through us if we would just say yes, Jesus. And that is the invitation for us today. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You in the name of Your Son, Jesus, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God, that You are such an awesome God, Lord God, that You, above all else, Lord God, of all the things that You preached on and taught on, You taught on the importance of the kingdom of heaven. That it wasn't going to be a kingdom, that it wasn't about a political kingdom, but it was about a kingdom, a movement, Lord God, that You were bringing heaven down to earth through You, Lord Jesus. And You're looking for us to say yes. If we just have faith like a mustard seed, that You would do something amazing, Lord God. And Lord God, You heard our church that we are saying, yes, Lord God, we want that in our lives. Maybe we have a little bit more than that, but that's all that it takes because You are the sustainer, You are the provider, You are the giver of life. And so, Lord, today we want to put our faith in You, Lord. We want to continue to grow in You, Lord God. We want to see the kingdom of heaven brought down from up above, Lord, to here, to our lives, to our communities, to our families, Lord God. We want to see that, Lord. We believe that You are a God that is still acting. You do the supernatural still, Lord God. And so, Father God, I am praying right now that we would seek You out with all of our hearts. And Lord God, we want to give our lives over to You. And if there's everything that's getting in the way, Lord God, help us to prune that out. Help us to have the joy of falling in love with You. Just like the people who gave up everything, Lord God, help us to lay everything aside, all of our crowns, all of our kingdom building. None of that matters, Lord. You are the owner of all things. And You're calling us into a deeper relationship with You. And that starts by, again, having faith in You, Lord Jesus. We can't work our way into heaven. We can't earn our way into heaven. In fact, Your words were the harshest about people who thought it was about works that were going to get them into the kingdom of heaven. It was not. It was about faith in You, Lord Jesus, first. So help us to be people that are on fire for You. Help us to understand what the kingdom of heaven means, Lord God, and help us to multiply it and grow the kingdom of heaven in our lives, Lord God, and help it to spread. Help us to create a movement within our families, Lord God, within our church, that people say, there's something different about You. There's something different about this church, but it's not, it's You, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, You invite us, Lord God. You give us a personal invitation to experience You, to taste and see that You are good. And we pray right now for Your kingdom to come. That it will be done in our lives, Lord God. We trust in You, Lord Jesus. We trust in You. We put our faith in You, Lord God. Help us to spread it and grow, Lord God, and to find the joy. That no matter how small, Lord God, even with our mustard-like faith, Lord God, if we're going through a storm, Lord God, I pray for healing. I pray for reconciliation, Lord God. I pray for lives that are falling apart to be put together back in You, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that even as we're going about our lives, Lord God, that we'd be broken for the things that break You, Lord God. Help us to stand in the gap for Your kingdom. Help us to surrender to Your reign. And Lord, allow You to transform us from the inside out. God, You tell us that You want us to live for eternity. Your word tells us that we need to seek your kingdom out, Lord. Seek the kingdom of God first in your righteousness, and that everything else is added unto us. Let us live that out, Lord God, every day of our life. Let us recognize the worth, Lord God, of who you are. That you are God, and you are good. But you're also giving us a warning, Lord. Help us to prepare for the day that you return, or help us to prepare for the day that we go see you, Lord God. This is not our home. We belong with you. Our home is with you, Lord Jesus. So you come in and make your heart, make your home in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of your word, through faith in you, Lord God. And help us, Lord God, to do everything we can to build up your kingdom. Not our kingdom, Lord God, yours. Not our will be done, but yours, Lord God. In every life that's here, and every grandparent that is here, and every mom, and every dad, every niece, every nephew, every young person, Lord God, that your will would be done in our lives. Lord God, we thank you that the kingdom of heaven is here by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's here because you came, Jesus. And Lord God, you invite us to be a part of it. You invite us to grow and multiply. Help us to do our part, Lord God. Thank you again for the calling that you have, Lord, on this church. Share the good news of who you are. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.